Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak, the pasuk says in last week's parasha, parasha's Bereishis, right at the beginning of the parasha, the pasuk says as follows: "Vayivorech Elokim esyoyim eshvi vayikadosh esoy kivoy shavas mikol melachtoy asher boro," which most people translate to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from that which He created. Rabbi said, until now, I also myself used to actually translate the pasuk in that way, but I think tonight we're going to learn a whole different twist on that pasuk. And this is going to be the introduction, Be'ezah Hashem Yisborach, for the Lama Tess, the 39 prohibited melachos on Shabbos. These, Rabbi Yitzchak, are the fundamental principles of any Jewish person. If we identify a Jewish from person, what do we call him? He's a Shomer Shabbos. I don't say that about anything else. I don't say he's Shomer Kashrus. We don't say he's Shomer, you know, all sorts of halachas. We say he's a Shomer Shabbos. Shabbos is something that seems to be identified with a Jewish from person. If a person is Jewish and he's from, he keeps Shabbos. That's an automatic assumption. And we have to understand where these melachas come from. Tonight, Rabbi Yitzchak, I have to say, I once tried this out in a different place with different boys. We actually went through all Lama tests, all 39 melachas in one day, one shay, 40 minutes. A minute a melacha. Right? Tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we're not going to try that because I want to be a little bit expanding on every melacha. What's that? No, it wasn't yeshiva. The private thing. Now, the Maisa, Be'ez Hashem, we want to discuss a little bit about this in Yonim. So let's start with the Shtikal HaKdoma, just to understand, before we get to the actual melachas, let's discuss a little bit of melachas of Shabbos. So like I said, we translated Kivoy Shavas, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from that which He created. Rabbi Yitzchak, there's an unbelievable Orech Chaim HaKadosh. The Orech Chaim HaKadosh in Parashat Bereishis has an unbelievable mahalach in Shabbos Kodesh. If a person, Rabbi, if you read this, you possibly go out of your noodle, you possibly go out of your pretzel, out of your brain. To read this in Orech Chaim HaKadosh is unbelievable, it's life changing. Says to Orech Chaim HaKadosh, Rabbi said, listen to this, this is so kedai, simcha, this is mamash kedai. Says to Orech Chaim HaKadosh, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first 6 days of creation on the universe, the first 6 days of creation, they did not have the strength, the koyach, to stand. Pasha would have collapsed. Pasha would have collapsed. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a day called Shabbos Kodesh. Came along Shabbos Kodesh and withheld, gave strength to the entire universe, to the creation of the world. And then the world was able to continue for another 6 days. That was, says the Orech Chaim HaKadosh, what happened, Simcha. So the question, says the Orech Chaim, is, excuse me, I don't understand. If the first 6 days managed, so maybe the next 6 days will manage. What do you need a Shabbos for? Very simple question. And he says, no, look at the Pasuk. You know what the Pasuk says? Ki sheishes yomim. Doesn't say ki ba sheishes yomim, in 6 days. You know what it says? Kibesheshes Yomim. You know what Kibesheshes Yomim means? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for 6 days. That's it. The world was then going to collapse, crumble, destroy, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to recreate the world all over again. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world only for 6 days. 6 hours. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for 6 days, came along the Shabbos Kodesh, and kept it going for another 6 days. Says the Orech Chaim HaKadosh, that's what a Shabbos does! A Shabbos is an engine for the universe. A Shabbos keeps the world standing. A Shabbos allows the next 6 days to come around. It's the most unbelievable pshat. So Rabbi Yitzchak, the Pasuk doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from that which He created. That's a wrong translation. It says, according to the Orech Chaim HaKadosh,
The only reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could rest is because there was a Shabbos. Because there was a Heilig Shabbos Kodesh. That's why he was able to rest, because now he could leave it alone and the world wouldn't crumble to nothing once again. And Rabbi Yisrael says, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, mamish, unbelievable. I know we are going to start. But the Orach Chaim HaKadosh explains a question that I'm sure everybody here had. There's the Gemara in Shabbos that Kuf Yud Testament base. There's the Gemara in Shabbos that Kuf Yud Testament base. If a person makes Kiddush, he becomes a partner to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He becomes a Shutuv, he becomes a partner. You and the Ribbono Shel Olam, by side. Mamish, you're creating the world. You're a Shutuv in my Sebereshis. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, I don't understand. Me, little me, standing over there in my house, making a kiddush with a becher of wine or grape juice, I become a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating the world. What's going on? What's pshatting about? Says the Orach Chaim, you know what the pshat is? Unbelievable pshat. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, the pshat is, when a person is mekadosh the Shabbos, you know what it means he keeps the Shabbos. When the person keeps the Shabbos, he's making the Shabbos in and out. He's making Shabbos in the world. If you're making Shabbos in the world, you're giving creation for the next 6 days to continue. So you're a partner in HaKadosh Baruch Hu together to actually create the next 6 days, because a Shabbos Kodesh creates the next 6 days. That's the pshat, number one. Number two, we know, that there's an issa for a person to do melacha on Shabbos. Now in the Torah, it doesn't say which melacha is asa, and it doesn't say how many is asa. That they left for Chazal, for the rabbis to come along and to dictate to us which melacha is asa and which melacha is muta. Right? Why they do that? What is Shabbos Kodesh? Shabbos Kodesh, you can imagine a person, right, he's working, and in America, for example, after the war, this was a tremendous nesayin, that after the time when everyone was busy trying to make a parnasa, and you went to try and do business, came along on Shabbos, and you said, I'm not working on Shabbos. You know what that means? That means you're putting full trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam. I trust that if I don't work for one day a week, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be able to provide. And the Mela, that trust that you have there, also is seen in the trust that we have to have for our rabbis. The trust that we have to have for Chazal, and that's the reason why they actually told us to believe the rabbis, and we gave the koyach to Chazal to actually tell us what is yes a malacha and what is actually not a malacha. Now, halacha of Moshe Mitzvah is at the Gemara in Shabbos, is there are 39 malachas. Where does the number 39 come from? Says the Gemara, because it says the word malacha 39 times. So if it says the word malacha 39 times, there's 39 malachas. So number one, we've already figured out, there's lamatas malachas, there's 39 malachas. Number two, how are we going to figure out what's asa? How are we going to know what's asa and what's muta on Shabbos? So wait, many people ask this shayla. How do you know what's asa? I'm going to go through and say a big, big part of Olam Hazeh Melachos. And you guys are going to figure, all of a sudden, yeah, this is muta, this is asa, like this is asa. What's going on? The answer is, in the same pasuk and Chazal already darshan this, that the Torah put Shabbos and the Mishkan together. And Chazal told us, whatever is considered to be making the Mishkan, a part of making the Mishkan, that's a malacha on Shabbos. And there's 39 exactly. Feed the Gemara, different shayles, malachas that make the Mishkan. Memele, there's 39 malachas on Shabbos. And mamash, we're going to start. We're just going to start like this. The first of the 24 lamatas malachas is to make the canopy on top of the covering of the oil moed. Right, it was 30 cubits long, times 10, it was 4 layers of soft material, it was made by 7 types of threads from Treles, Argomon, and Tolas, Shani, and therefore they wound it all together, and in order to make these strings, a whole process, it's an unbelievable thing. We're going to go now, we're going to start mamish now, with the different malachas to provide the Mishkan with a covering. And in order to provide the Mishkan, you're going to see what went into the actual process of the Mishkan. So let's start with Beis Hashem. We're going to cover half of Hilchos Shabbos tonight. Unbelievable. Let's start with number one. Says the Pasuk. Right, this is a Makor in the Torah.
You're not allowed to do, it is forbidden, prohibited to do any malacha on Shabbos Kodesh. And there's a big mistake that people make. People think what malacha means? Malacha means work. Work! That's what's asa. That's why people can't understand. You go to a fresh, I spoke recently to a fresh Balei Tshuva. They don't understand. Why is putting off a light or putting on a light asa? It's the easiest thing in the world. What do you mean? It's only Shabbos, it's beautiful. But they don't understand it. Right? Oh, they're going to be starting with that. We'll get to that. So I told him very simple. The Torah doesn't ask her. The Torah doesn't forbid work. That's not what they said is asa. They forbidden this. It's so crucial. Creative activity. Something that's a creation. On the seventh day of creation, the Ribbono Shel Olam stopped creating things in this world. So we have to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we also stop creating things in this world. So Remela, what they asked was creative activity and not physical activity. That means theoretically a person can go schlep tables and chairs all Shabbos. He's not b'machal Shabbos. But to press one tiny light, that's an issa min ha-Torah, and it's chayiv misa. So Remela said, that's what they asked. Let's start with Abayisai now, number one. And again, these are Bekoyos in the Mishkan. We're going to start now with the first 11 melochas. Try to get through that tonight. The first 11 melachos of the making of the dyes, right? Or some shittas, again, it's a shayin, we're showing him Rashi with Haigoi, not going into the shittas, Ayin Ligletal over there, in the beginning, Akdoma, it's all different shayins, it's a Magletal, it's a Meiri, it's a Mechas Chinuch. We can't go into the shayins right now, I'm not going into the different shittas. But there are 11 melachos in order to make the dyes. Now, why do they have to make the dyes? Because, like we said, we're going now to figure out what they did in the Mishkan. To make the Mishkan, they had to make a covering. The covering had to be a beautiful color, right? So before they made the cloth, they prepared the dyes. How do you prepare dyes? By making the following 11 melachas. We'll start number one. The first melacha of the Lamatas melachas, again, this is a Mefurish Mishnah in Shabbos by Gimel, that is the melacha of Chayvish. It's a Machoikis Chayvish, so anyways, first, we're starting from Chayvish. Chayvish was the melacha of plowing the ground, right? The first thing they had to do before you sow seeds and plant things in order to get an actual plant is you've got to do Chayvish Harisha, plowing the ground. Now, there are many practical examples of this on the gate to us. For example, if a person digs a hole, if a person takes a cricket stump and sticks it into the ground, Rabbi Isai, he's done an Isamidatayu, he did Chayvish. If a person levels the ground, if he sees some dirt on the ground, he takes his shoe and he starts leveling around. Rabbi says, it's an Issa min HaTorah mamish. Major shayla. He's done Chavisha. You know what Chavisha means? To improve the ground, to straighten the ground, to make it more makabel for planting. One second, and the last thing is, the shayla playing ball on the ground is a tremendous shayla. What's the shayla? If I play ball on some surface like over here in Yeshiva, there's no shayla, it's mutter. But when I go, for example, to a place where there's grass or there's mud or anything like that, real earth place. So the whole problem is when I'm playing ball, for example, I'm playing football, right? Very again, you play football. Now, in order to play football, I'm sure everybody knows, you've got to have a straight ground. You can't have a bumpy ground. So you go to the football field, you find like a little bump over there. So you take your shoe, sort of stamp on it. The right side, you take this fellow and you throw him out the window. He pushes it and it's a diaster. He pushes it level the ground and it's a mushroom. Shkhasim shalom. Yes. First of all, that's not earth, that's sand, which is it's a muktza, but walking. Not negated this shayla. It's a good shayla, but it's not negated this. I don't want to go off the topic. But like I said, we're going to have to move. In order to get to the melachos, we're going to have to move. Number two, melacha number two, Zoreya. And this, as you can see, is the tchilat bringing a plant into this world, which is going to help us for the dyes. And that is the melacha of planting, which is the melacha of Zoreya. How does this apply to us? In a few ways. Number one, have a pashas, watering plants. No shayla in the world. It's asa goma to water for a plant. Watering a plant causes it to grow, and that's 100% going to be asa. Closing an open curtain, very interesting shayla. Many people have flower pots or plants on a windowsill or by curtains in a salon or wherever it may be, and the sun is not coming in. He opens up the shade because he wants the sun to hit on his plant. Because if the sun goes on the plant, what's going to happen? It's going to improve the whole process. That's an issa. Again, we're not discussing now what happens if he doesn't have kavana, if he doesn't know, I'm not getting into it. That's what I just said. That's what I said, we're not getting into. Rabbi said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something before we continue. All of these melachas require a minimum of 2 to 3 shiurim on their own. It's not shy for me to go through minutes into every single one. We're probably going to have to go through just the most common examples. Number 3, pruning a tree, right, which is what the gardeners do when they pull out certain things, the weeds and all these things, it makes the earth grow better. Right, my bet? Same air. That's right. What's that? Yeah, fixing it up. Because it makes it better, it makes it grow better. Let me get back to the website. Number 3. Melacha number 3 is the melacha of Kaisa. All of these melachas were done in the Mishkan, right? Let's go back a second, Rabbi Isai. Let's go back for 1 minute. Simcha Mori, this is Mamash Kabaldik. Let's go back, number 1. What was Zoreya in the Mishkan? Zoreya in the Mishkan was very simple. In order to plant for the dyes, they had to plow the field. In order to actually produce the dyes, they had to actually do planting. That was the Zoreya. And the next one they had to do was, once it became a plant, they had to do Kaisa. Kaitse is the melacha of reaping. That means that a person, what they had to do is had to actually detach the plant from the actual ground and cause it to, again, remove its life source from the ground. Now, how does this apply to us? What are some of the applications that apply? Very simple. The person goes over to a tree or a plant, plucks up a leaf, plucks up a twig or a branch, he's an overnose derator, because this plant, this tree, this twig can no longer live, and therefore you cut off its life source. That's Badein Issa of Kaisa. Number 2, using trees or animals, very, very negaya. If you put a hammock on a couple of trees, and I'm not going into the details now of how you do it, see the Tzodim, Stodim, tomorrow in Shabbos, we haven't got time to be Megachim. But the mice of a person uses a tree or an animal, it's an Issa. Why? Because Chazal will worry that a person uses a tree or an animal. For example, what the Gemara says, person rides an animal, what does he do? He wants the animal to go faster. What does he do? He rips off a branch and he starts smacking the animal. So Chazal says, don't ride on an animal, don't even use an animal. Why? Because you might come to remove, detach a twig on Shabbos Kodesh. How about cress? The English only maybe know what I'm talking about. In England they sell these little packages of cress. Looks like grass. You cut it up and they serve it sometimes in the kiddush, you put it in sandwiches, all sorts of things. Then you sell it with the earth. You buy it with the earth in a little container in the store. Yes. And therefore, to cut that off on Shabbos, I both say there are people that do this on Shabbos because they think that you're allowed to do it for a kiddush or for sandwiches and all these sorts of things. It's a gump that is actually attached. Okay, running through grass is a tremendous shaila because, again, we haven't got time to be married, we have to do that afterwards. But have two questions afterwards. Push it because we haven't got time. Running through grass is a tremendous shaila. Why? Because when a person runs through the grass, especially if it's very long grass, he's going to come to rip off the actual grass itself. Walking slowly is 100% going to be mutter. It's running that enters into the shaila. The fourth... It depends how it's connected. Can't go into it right now. The fourth melacha that he did in the Mishkan was ma'amer. Ma'amer means to gather. In other words, after they had harvested, if you ever saw a field straight after harvest, what happened after harvest? All the fruit is all over the place. So somebody had to go along and gather everything into bundles or into baskets to bring it inside. So to do that on Shabbos Kodesh is vader going to be awesome. How does this apply to us? Very simple. If a person takes flowers and he bunches them together, or a person takes apples from under a tree, he has a tree with apples or plums or pears in the back garden, and he goes with a box and he starts gathering them all over the place, that's an Issa Mishum Ma'amer. There's not other applications that we can't go into right now, but those are the most common ones which we're going to speak about.
Does gathering also apply to, like,
could be in certain situations, yes, but we can't go into it. Lama again, baita. Chamesh. Now the locha number 5. I took these pictures in a moshav called Moshav Beit Meir, which have an actual wonderful thing of lama test of locha. So I went there specifically for this slideshow to show the oilim exactly what this is. Now the most threshing dosh, right, which is the melacha of threshing, which is what the Vesik used to do was, is what they did. They took an animal, and this animal used to walk around in a circle, and they'd place underneath the animal all sorts of shells with all sorts of nuts in it and all sorts of other things in it, and the animal would sort of thresh them out. That was the way to get them out of the seat, right, out of its shell. So a threshing dosh means to remove something from its natural casing. That is the melacha of dosh, and that's why they're going to be after. Now, what are the common... There's many examples over here. This malacha itself will take at least six shiurim to understand this malacha properly. Number 1, Rabbi Isai. The malacha of squeezing fruit
It's an issur gomor for a person to squeeze fruit on Shabbos Kodesh in order to use it for the juice. We cannot go into all the details. One thing that is vade mutter is to squeeze lemon onto fish. That's for sure, or onto salad. But to squeeze juice, to squeeze, that's allowed. Regular fruit onto into a cup to drink is vade going to be asur. Number two, selling nuts. Right, there are certain nuts that are mutter, certain nuts that are asa, peanuts according to Kumat, all the poison except Shevet HaLevi is mutter, most nuts are cashew nuts are mutter, Gary Nimmer okay, there are certain, there's different layers of nuts which we can't go into now, that's mutter. Now, there might say baby wipes, I'm not getting into a discussion right now, Rabbi Isai, but there is no shiler in the world. Ein maladaber! To use a baby wipe on Shabbos, Rabbi Isai, is an issur min HaTorah. Now, if the baby wipe is made with a gedulei karka, the hainu it's made from the ground, there's an issa min hatoira to use it. It's a psikresha, it's nichale, we have not got time to discuss it, it's not even up for discussion. Let's go weiter. That's right. Let's go weiter. Sponges, toothbrushes. This is an issa gobble for a person to use sponges and toothbrushes on Shabbos, because again, it squeezes the water out. Totally, the Gemara in Shabbos and the Shittos are rampant by the Taz, which we haven't got time to be ma'irichin. Over Be'etzem, to use a toothbrush and a sponge is better going to be awesome. Let's go on later. Afterwards. Let's move on to Rabbi Isai. Malacha number six. Malacha number six is the malacha of Zorah. Zorah is the malacha of winnowing. Right, what was winnowing, as you can see very clearly, is they took the whole pile, the bundle, of all the good stuff, the kernels and everything, and they wanted to get rid of the garbage. So how you get rid of the garbage in the most convenient way, is you took a pitchfork, you threw it up into the air, and when you threw it up into the air, because the inside is very, very heavy, it dropped down, and all the garbage used to fly up in the wind. So therefore, Chazal told us that any way you're using the wind to disperse something, that's the malacha of Zorah. So for example, how would this apply to us? If a person has a whole bowl with shells and peanuts, for example, and he blows into the bowl, so all the garbage shells go and the peanuts remain, it's a shayla of Zorah. Right, as you can see from over here. Spitting into their Rabbi said, there's a moment to you shall me! Says you shall me! If a person stands on the second floor of a building, or wherever it may be, of some height, and he spits down, and the spit in the wind disperses, he's done an issur gomor on Shabbos of Zorah, because he's used the wind to scatter things. One last thing. Even if it's an indoor, man, can either. If the wind disperses it, yes.
Why not?
There's a major shiny with aerosol cans, deodorants, of all those things. The mice that we pass in their mutter. Why do we pass in their mutter? We can't get into the reason right now. But the shiny is because you're taking a liquid and you're using the pressure in order to disperse the pieces. The last application is when you have something in a drink and you blow it out of there, could be it's a shayla of Zorah. Again, Rabbi said these two require at least a whole hour shir just to explain what's going on over here. Let's continue, Rabbi Isai. Oh, this is my favorite, Rabbi Isai. Malacha number seven. Malacha number seven, Rabbi Isai, is the malacha of Boira. Boira is what they did when they had the kernels, the shells, and the food was all mixed together. And they didn't want it mixed together, they didn't want the shell. So they removed the shell away and it remained with them the good stuff. Rabbi said the malacha of Boira would take us minimum, 14 shiurim, just to explain what the malacha is and how it applies. I would probably estimate that everybody sitting in this room is probably over on Boira around 200 times every Shabbos. Around 200 times every Shabbos. Because it applies not only to food, it applies to the Taz, the Mufush, Rashi, it applies to anything in the world. Shirts, socks, ties, it applies to everything. Rabbi said Boira is probably one of the most shiach malachas that we have in our house on Shabbos Kodesh. Right? And again, when you eat, Rabbi, how do you eat? You take the chicken, you've got the skin. You take the chicken, you've got the bones. You take the cholent, I like the beans, I like the potatoes. Mamish, Rabbi, every 5 minutes, there's another shiloh of Boira. So that's the malacha of Boira, to separate when you have a mixture of certain things, and I take one of them, I select the good from the bad from the good, and there's all sorts of conditions for this. Be'ez Hashem will give shurim on this in a much more arichas at a different stage, but here we're just trying to get some of the klalim.
So number one, sorting out a mixture. If you have a mixture and you sort it out, that's how it's a baile. Number two, removing a stem. There you go, we have a challenge, you sort it out. You know, he likes the eggs, this guy likes the carrots. So sorting things out, if it's a mixture, it's baile shaila baile. Number two, removing the stem of an apple. It's mixed together with the apple, you're removing the stem, that's an ism shum baile. If you have the zava washing fruit, and the fruit is very, very dirty, it's full of mud, it's full of ochi stuff, and you wash it off, it's mixed up together, by grapes, and it's a vada shaila or baile. Piles. When you have a pile of shirts, for example, or a pile of ties, and you select the one that you want, if it's not for immediate usage, and it's not being used now, and you're not doing it with your hand, if that is an ism daraisa, mishum baira. I'm only because this is Nageya, I'm going to speak out the three conditions that are Nageya to Baira. If you have a Baira Shaila, that means you have a mixture of two different things that are mixed together. If you take it for immediate usage, with your hand, good from bad, then it's mutter. Let's move on. Melacha number 8, Rabbi said, oh, melacha that is so nugeya, toichim. The melacha of toichim is the melacha of grinding. Again, the ulam is understanding, right? Where are we holding in the Mishkan? They already removed all the shells. So now what are they left with in the Mishkan? They left with the grains, left with the good stuff. Now in order to make the dyes for the paint, in order to dye the cloth for the Mishkan, what they had to do is make it into a dye. So how do? You take the seeds and you crush them down. Now crushing them down is a melacha d'oraisa of toichin. Right? They did it with one of these things, a big stone that used to turn around. This is mamash what they used to use. Or nowadays, what they would use is a pestle and mortar. Okay, whatever it may be. How's it nageya? The boys say, tremendously nageya. Cutting vegetables for a salad. I once gave a shame to a chassidish olam, and I named there are 10 out of 39 melachas that a person can be over when he makes a cucumber salad. 10 out of 39. I'm not going to get into it right now, but it's nageya. Okay, number one, cutting vegetables. Number two, medicine. Oh, you boy say. Medicine on Shabbos is a tremendous shaila. Is a person allowed to take medicine? What's the shaila? The shaila is like this. In the olden days, the medicine, how is it made? It was made by crushing certain things. So Chazal came along in the geniosity and said, hey, we're going to allow people to take medicine on Shabbos Kodesh. So what's going to happen? Bashur, he's going to start grinding on Shabbos Kodesh. I said, no, sir. So what do we do? They say, they try to save us. So they made a gather, they made a fence, they said, don't take medicine, so you won't come to over the Raisa. So now we're not going into discussion which medicine is mutter, which one is osa. Depends how bad of a headache, depends how ill you are, of other, there's a certain situation that we can be makel with a heta of a local Orthodox rabbi. Then we're getting later. Using the grater. How's the grater be rich? A greater by side. It's us a gomu for a person that was that?
Greater.
Very good. I make fun of my kids when they do that. What's an aquarium in Ivrit? Okay. Using a greater by side, Shabbos is about the osa. Number three, mashing the banana, mashing avocado. These things are also, this is toichin, you're grinding. You have to be so careful when you cut up a vegetable salad on Shabbos to make sure the pieces are a little bit bigger than normal and it's done for miyad usage only. Let me get invited, everybody say, oh, beautiful picture. Let me get invited. Malacha number nine. Everybody say, we'll stop at 11. Malacha number nine is the malacha of merakate, the malacha of sifting, which in order, once they crushed it down, to remove all the finer impurities that were inside of this thing, what they had to do is they push out the sieve. So maybe the house is negated to us, streaming negated, filters. A person used a water filter. A person sieves flour or sugar, whatever it may be, to make sure there's no insects in it. Or filter water. Let's talk about filtering water. It's a big shine in the place. Why? When you're filtering water, why are you filtering water? In order to stop the impurities from coming out. That's why Rabbi said, anybody from New York, I'd only from New York will have enough from this, right? Rabbi said, in New York, it's us to drink the water. Why is it us to drink the water in New York? Go get yourself a cup of water in New York. What are you going to see? Bugs floating around in the water. Very nice. The Maisa, they found this out, by the way, from a very interesting shot. I'll tell you how they found this out. Mama's not a gator now. I'll tell you how they find this out. Rabbi said, an American, the English will have a love in this. An American guy bought bug-free lettuce in Eretz Yisrael. He went back to New York and he washed it and he ate it. And he called the company and said, excuse me, I found bugs in your bug-free lettuce.
It can't be. No such thing. No one's ever reported to us. So they decided to get another batch. Eventually they found out it was the water that was full of bugs, not the lettuce. And it caused a tremendous uproar in all the poskim in America. Daily poskim mamish. If it's mutter or osur to drink the water, I'm not going into the shaila right now. A lot of people in America have sieves on their or filters on their tap system in their house. Today that there'll be no shaila. Last couple of melachas are by side. Losh! Ah! Melacha number 10. Again, they took in the Mishkan, the pebble, they took all the grain, they crushed them down. Once they crushed them down, they got rid of all the impurities, they had to combine it together in order to make a paste. And this paste was almost up to its final completion in order to make the dyes to dye the curtains. Imagine what a process to go through just to dye a curtain. Unbelievable. Remela, lush is the melacha of kneading, of binding together certain things. The most classic example we have nowadays is taking flour and water, putting it together, and it makes a dough. That vadai is awesome. What's negeh to asa boy say? I have so much I know when I say this one. Tuna and mayonnaise. Tuna and mayonnaise. Tuna is separate pieces. Mayonnaise combines it together. Is it mutter to do it? Yes. But you have to know how. To make tuna and mayonnaise on Shabbos Rabbeisai, you put it to put one on top of the other, and you have to mix it criss-cross. We're not going into why, we're not going into how. We need at least 8 shurim to explain the melacha of Losh. It's just unbelievable. Etanel. Zalacha. Zalach, זה כאן חתום, זה בזה. מה כתום? אי אפשר. Next up, I try. Wheatabix! Ah! This is my favorite. This is my favorite. This is my favorite, Rabbi Isai.
English thing. What is that?
Every year.
Wheatabix.
I did it every year.
How do you not know what
Wheatabix
is?
Rabbi
Isai,
Wheatabix is something that the English know very well. It's been appointed by Her Majesty the Queen. And Wheatabix, Rabbi Isai, to make it on Shabbos in the regular manners and it's a daraisa. Why? Very simple.
Wheatabix. Abi.
To make Wheatabix on Shabbos, what are you doing? You're taking the pieces of wheat that were put together to you in a biscuit form. You're putting milk on top of it. And what happens? Lo and behold, it all combines together. And when it combines together, it's an Issa Daraisa of Losh. Now there are certain ways to do it that are mutter. Consult your local Orthodox rabbi beforehand. But to make it in the regular manner, Rabbi says, awesome. Baby cereals. A lot of baby cereals are very, very thick. Baby cereals is when you give a child a little bit thicker food, so you'll take like a powdery rice thing, you'll put a bit of milk in it, and therefore you'll do that. Those are big shilas. Sand and water, I'm going to say again, it's very, very awesome to mix up, because again, you're going to be making a mixture on Shabbat. And the last melacha that we're dealing with tonight, Be'ez Hashem, is the melacha of Oifer, which is the melacha of baking. So again, everybody said, what do we have so far? We have over here a paste of wonderful things and wonderful seeds that we've smashed up. We've got rid of all the impurities. We've combined it together. Now we've got to cook him up. When we cook it, it turns into the dye that is going to be used in order to dye the curtains. And cooking on Shabbos, I can't tell you enough. This is the Merdeka picture. This is a picture of myself in Beis Meir. This is a picture of the olden day oven that they actually used. What we called a kira, right? The Gemara in Shabbos Perek Gimel. Kira. A kira is the olden day oven they used to use. They had two different mahalchim of oven, Rabbi Isai. They had a type of oven like this, like a pita bread, like a matzah oven, and you put everything in. They also had one like this, where the fire was over here, and the two pots used to stand on the top, and used to get cooked up by the heat of the fire. And Rabbi Isai, cooking on Shabbos, I don't have to tell anybody here, a food to a Jewish person is one of the essentials of life. So therefore, what's negeh to us on Shabbos?
Is as follows, if a person speeds up the cooking process, if a person puts a lid on a pot that's cooking non-cooked food or not fully cooked food, for example, I might say, how many times have we discussed this last year, that if a person takes a cholent and he takes it off the fire and he realizes it's not fully cooked, it's an issa gomor to put it back in because it's going to be cooking. Number two. For example, a person salts food, salt, coffee, tea, all of these things are nichlan to shayla is a bishul, and therefore could be a shayla gomor to be asked. Returning food back onto the fire, or back onto the gas stove, wherever it may have come from, is badly going to be a shayla. Soup nuts and croutons and all of these things are badly shaylas on Shabbos, and the main rabbi say,
We're going to stop here. These are the first 11 melachas that are inquired, again, like we said, to make the dyes that were used to dye the curtains for the oil moed, for the Mishkan, and therefore that is what's also on Shabbos. And Be'ez Hashem Abaisai, tomorrow night we will start the next 13 melachos of actually producing the cloth themselves. Join us then.